limit the time. We're going to go ahead and just jump right into chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, on God's gifted people. And then what is your gift? Because if we only have 3 weeks left, this is a topic we thought, hey, this is a very relevant and very interesting in the book of Corinthians. We definitely don't want to miss out on. So, just a quick review. We've covered a lot of good topics. We covered in chapter 1 how Paul started the letter out with a thankfulness attitude, a thankfulness for a difficult people. And as you remember, Paul knew in advance, he had already received correspondence from the Corinth church that there's a lot of issues to go through, whether it's marital, whether it's a leadership struggle of some kind, whether it's Greeks versus Jews struggles, there's women's roles, there's a lot of issues to deal with. But he didn't start the letter out saying, all right, get ready, I'm going to straighten you out. Or he didn't start the letter out saying, let's just forget, put those issues aside and just focus on Jesus or focus on God. I mean, obviously that is an important part, but he said, well, let's deal with these issues one at a time. And let's grow closer together as a result. And we jumped up to chapter 15 in chronological order. Because of the terrorist attack, and we talked a little bit about, we processed what was going on in our heads, and then in chapter 15, we talked a little bit about that the sting of death, we have victory over that as Christians, and how we can look at tragedy like that and just say that, hey, dying, death is not the worst thing in the world that could happen. I heard on Christian radio, they repeated that this week, and that was encouraging to know that other churches are dwelling on the same thing. The fear of death is not the worst thing we have in our life. The fear of death without Jesus is really the worst thing. So, and then we went into chapter 2. We reviewed that we can have two mindsets in life, two perspectives. One can be our natural perspective, which we all have from where we grew up. We're a firstborn, middle child, large family, where our culture we're from. We take all that with us in life, but also we need to put on the spiritual mindset and try to bring them together somehow. And then chapter 3, we tried to define what spiritual maturity is all about. We looked at how can we be dwelling on substance in our spiritual walk, on meat, as you will, and not just continually be dwelling on milk. As we walk in our faith. In the chapter 4, our last class, 2 weeks ago, I believe, we talked about Paul really addressed the issue of pride in the church. And we talked about humility. How can we, as Christians here at Mid-County, how can we grow in our humility? And why is it important? And Paul, in his chapter 4, he even talked about I've got a lot of achievements, but you know what? I consider myself, and he was using some different illustrations, but he said, I'd be willing to call myself the scum of the earth. I'd consider myself nothing as long as you guys look towards God and put some of your pride aside and your knowledge, as you know, and consider God, God's wisdom, God's foolishness. And be willing to call yourself a fool for Christ, if that's what it takes. Because God's wisdom, God's ignorance, is a whole lot smarter than God, than man's wisdom, as we saw in chapter 1. So that kind of gives us a quick review of what we've covered. Today we want to get into chapter 12, as I said, and probably could use a reader or two. Mike, you want to read?
Okay, we're at it.
Let's see, we're going to cover chapter 12, 1 Corinthians.
Yeah. And chapters 11.
Okay. Verse 1. Yeah, who wants to read after that, after 12 on? Okay.
Now about spiritual gifts. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spirits, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the Holy Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing at one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines.
The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And they were all one part, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Okay. Joe, you want to lead us in prayer? Get started in class.
Father in heaven, thank you for this day that you've given us. I was struck by the passage, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by your Spirit. Thank you, Father, that we know who Jesus is. Thank you for the blessings of your word. And please bless this class this morning for your glory and for our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. I'm going to go over some things on the different kinds of gifts. We're going to have some good discussion.
I wanted to just cover a couple of things, go through several different ideas in this text. First one that I wanted to bring out was right in the very beginning, Paul says he doesn't want us to be ignorant of this fact. This whole discussion of spiritual gifts and how the church body works together was really key to them back in the first century, to these new churches that were starting. But I think it's really a key for us today as well. And Paul says this is really important. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about this. Back then, Christianity was a pretty new thing. There was a very diverse group of people in Corinth. There was Jews who had been steeped in it from birth, but there was people from literally all over the world that were joining this church. And Paul's telling them how we can use the power of the Holy Spirit to function as a body in Christ, and how the church is put together, one Spirit, how we all function together. And so anyway, that was important to them, but really it's important to us too, as we try to find our role in the church and make us feel like we fit in. So anyway, one of the things when we talk about all this, talk about spiritual gifts, I want to make sure that we remember that the Spirit, or that the focus of all this is on the Holy Spirit. You know, these are gifts of the Spirit, and that's really as opposed to individual gifts. I think if we remember when we think about how gifted are we, gifted, to me, that's a word that we use in the school sometimes. We have gifted kids, and we tend to separate the gifted kids out into this other. And, you know, they do it quietly. They take the gifted children out, and they go study together for 2 hours. And they try to do it in a way that doesn't draw attention to them. And I think that's good, but yet they still, they're grouping them together. Here are the quote-unquote, whatever that means. You know, you can never get people to agree what a gifted child really is. But here's this class full of gifted children. And yet here we are in this Bible class talking about being gifted. And rather than dividing us up and making us jealous of each other by focusing on what, you know, I've got this gift and I've got that gift, let's remember that this is gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are things that have been given to us. They're not, we don't need to be proud of them. And also, especially maybe for the 1 Corinthians, or not the 1 Corinthians who were first, Paul is saying that, or Paul is reminding him that these are gifts of the Spirit of God as opposed to other spirits in the world. This was a pagan society, and yet even then today we live in a pagan society where there are other spirits. I was really kind of surprised when I was down in New Orleans a couple weeks ago. I was walking around one evening, and there was 2 blocks full of card readers sitting there. And I could have stopped, and I could have paid $5, and I could have had this person tell me things about myself. You know, whether you believe that this person really had some type of a spirit to do that, that was not the Spirit of God. And so anyway, another point that I wanted to make was that everybody has a spiritual gift. And this is something that I got out of reading at this time. I mean, of course, Paul says that we all have spiritual gifts. We may not have the same number. We like to think that we're all created equal. But I believe that some of us have been blessed with more talents than others. If you look at Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, that we primarily use that to teach us that we should use the gifts that we've been given, but it also clearly, to me, points out that some people are given more gifts than others. And Paul is telling us here that that's okay. And
more gifts than others in certain areas. Right. Because not all gifts are quantifiable, so we can't really. Someone may have a lot more gifts than the public speaking, but obviously, you know, we can measure gifts in a lot of different ways, right? So.
Right, and so I guess maybe another way to say it is we shouldn't really count how many gifts we have. It's not important that I know that I have 6 gifts or 1 gift or whatever. The important part, I guess the point I want to make is that we all have been given gifts. Paul makes that very clear here. Especially in verse 7, he says, to each of us the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We have all been given gifts. I personally believe that some of us have been given greater amounts of gifts than others. But that's not important. And I think understanding that is maybe key for us getting along. If I see somebody who has just been blessed in so many areas, that's great. You know, and I could turn around and maybe you can find that many areas in my life that I've been blessed in and I just don't understand it. But if I haven't been blessed in that many areas, that's okay too. I believe that parable of talent teaches that some people have been given more gifts than others. And we don't have to be all equal. That's what the whole idea later on in the chapter about the different parts. So anyway, then the other, last thing I wanted to talk about was, and I took this from a commentary by Gene Barron. He broke these gifts down into 3 distinct parts, and this was just his idea, but I thought it shed a little bit of light on it, so I wanted to share those ideas with you. The first type of gift that he broke it down into was universal gifts that everyone has been given, and that was a way that I had not really thought about it before, and so I thought that was kind of interesting. And the first one that he actually didn't list here, and maybe you could argue that whether this is a gift of the Spirit or not, but I think it is faith. Faith is the most important work of the Holy Spirit. The most important work of the Holy Spirit is not to grant gifts that we're talking about today, but to enable us to believe in Jesus Christ and confess Him as Lord. And we pulled that out of right at the beginning of this chapter, I think it's verse 3. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Gerald even touched on that in his opening prayer. What stood out to him was the fact that the Spirit has allowed us and given us the knowledge of the gospel message. And that, to me, that is a wonderful gift. And we've all been given that. Every Christian has been given the gift of faith. But anyway, the ones that he broke it down into justification in Romans 5:15, the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ. I guess I also wanted to point out that this list in Corinthians is not really the only list in the Bible where there's many different Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter, I think, talks about. I read one commentary that said there was 19 gifts, and another one said there was 25. So, you can make your own list here. Another universal gift was eternal life, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gift that we've all been given. And then he also mentioned answered prayer. In 2 Corinthians 1, Paul talks about the gift of answered prayer. Then he breaks it down into second one that he used was functional gifts. And that's the area that we typically think about, I believe, when we talk about gifts. And we do our spiritual gifts inventory, which we're not going to do this morning, by the way. So, that's either a relief or everybody's going either darn or great. I don't know what... Those are the gifts typically that he breaks down in the functional gift category. And those are some of them that are listed, like I mentioned earlier, in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. So I guess what I'd like to do, have a little discussion here maybe about natural ability versus spiritual gifts. And what do you all think of, what's the difference between a natural ability and a spiritual gift? Because a lot of times we say, well, you have the gift of administration, so you should be a church leader. Or, now, most likely this person had that ability before he became a Christian. And one of the key points as we talk about this is, I believe, in my opinion, a spiritual gift is something that you did not have before you were a Christian. So, you might have had these gifts, the skill of working with people before you became a Christian, but now, as a Christian, you've been given an extra dimension to that gift. And you take that ability and use it then instead of for maybe your own purposes, but for the church, for the furthering of God's kingdom. So, what do you guys think about that? Are our spiritual gifts something that we didn't ever have before we became a Christian and we were given to them as Christians?
I don't know if we get extra ones as Christians, but I do know that all the gifts we have come from God ultimately, so it's kind of a good point.
That's good. Whether you call them natural ability or spiritual gifts, everything that you have is a gift from God. Now, I was a smart student in high school, believe it or not. If you had seen me, you never would have guessed by looking at me. But yet, back then, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't doing anything at all to follow God. In fact, I was doing quite a bit to go against God. And yet, I had the natural ability to be a good student. And now that I am a Christian, I believe that God takes that natural ability and helps me to use it in ways that further His kingdom. So really, it's it's not too important to have this distinction because they both came from God. But I really do believe that there's something extra that God adds to that when we become a Christian, because otherwise there would be no difference between me and somebody else who is a good student, because there's plenty of good students in this world who aren't Christians. And then Linda, after that.
I have had the experience of studying with somebody and not knowing what to say and asking God or the Spirit to give me something to say and being given something to say. And that, in my estimation, is definitely a gift of the Spirit. And in my own life, I definitely see things that are not natural abilities and that are new to me and that clearly don't come from my ability to discern, my own natural ability to discern things. And so, I disagree. I think that it is a distinction.
So there are, in that case, that's a gift that you've been given that you probably didn't have prior to becoming a Christian. Mm-hmm. Linda?
When we started at New County a couple of years ago, I really wanted to work at the pantry. And I was in with Sarah Bure, and I have a gift for people, but not in ministering, you know, to people. I've never done that. And I thought, well, I'll just give up food. These people that know what they're doing can minister to people. But in the 2 years I've been there, I hear myself ministering to people now. And it's just become second hand, you know, to where I thought, well, I can't do that, you know. And it's just become automatic when I didn't even know it was happening.
I think sometimes if you watch how God works, you'll see him, you know, choosing somebody that has a lot of natural ability to perform a certain function. He chose Paul, who had so much academic training, et cetera, to go and take the word, you know, all around the world. And, you know, it's good that Paul had that training and that probably intellectual ability. But sometimes he's very unpredictable, and he'll choose somebody who you think, what is he doing, that has no natural talent that you can see for doing a function, and he can make whoever he wants into whatever he wants, in a sense, because, I mean, like, he picked Peter, a fisherman, you know, to be an apostle, and some of the other apostles didn't have a whole lot to recommend them either, and so the Jewish leaders were like, who are these guys, you know? But if they listened to them, they were impressed with what they had to say, and it's simply because God gave them things to say, not because they had natural talent or ability in that area. I mean, if you read, you know, through the Gospels and look at Peter's life, you think, what was God thinking in choosing him? And I think the same is true for us. I mean, he can take our natural abilities and use them, but sometimes he doesn't even use those natural abilities. Sometimes he takes a person that has lots of natural ability in one area and has them do something completely different. The point is God is the one who chooses who he wants to do what, and it may be based on natural abilities, but it may not. He may give us something completely new that we never had before.
That's exactly right. You know, you look at the apostles, and most of them were fishermen that really probably didn't have much schooling at all, and yet they became huge leaders of the church, and yet, as opposed to the Jewish leaders who maybe most people would have picked, oh, I picked that guy because he's already studied most of his life. But then God did turn around and pick one of those high-level Jewish people, Apostle Paul, to be one of the great leaders of the church. So God picked them both. He picked people who didn't have that ability and people who did have that background.
The common ingredient for both of them was the heart. Something we can't see as human beings, you know. And if they picked, the Jews picked Saul as their first king. They were picking it from a visual standard. Samuel 16:7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, you know, and what kind of leader they think it's going to be, but you get
looked at Paul's heart, you would have, to most peoples, would have said, that man has a hard heart. Mm-hmm. But luckily God knows our hearts.
Tag team in this here?
Yeah, tag team.
Yeah, tag
team.
I want to mention a couple of things here. A couple of scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures in them that talk about talents and how we use our talents, like the parable of the talents. Jesus used a good parable there explaining how we have something and what kind of return are we using it for. Now, we can always look at money, something quantifiable, like I mentioned earlier. But a lot of times, gifts are an intangible thing. When we serve someone, we help develop another person, that's not quantifiable. We can't tell, are we using our gifts in the most possible way? We have to rely on God to say, God, you're going to make the best work out here. Because as it's in chapter 2 or so, that Paul, our whole church is a tag team. It's a team approach. One person's going to do the watering, one person's going to do the planting, like Paul or Paul's. And those are visual things we see being servant, acts of servants we see. We can say this person spent more time doing the watering and helping this person grow, or this person spent more time doing the planting and cultivating, but we don't even see what's going on behind the scenes. And that's God causing the growth. We can't see that part. But it is a team approach. Parable of the talents. Jesus talked about Mark chapter 8. He said, I came to serve, not be served. I thought that's pretty relevant. In chapter 12, verse 7, it says, talks about how our gifts are intermingled. It's not one gift is way over here and this gift is way over here. We're all our gifts are together, interconnected, extremely important. There's an interesting story by it. Read in the commentary, I wanted to read it. Julie read this already, and it's kind of interesting on that explains this a little bit. It's there was a doctor that was leading a Red Cross medical course, and it's explained here. It says, some years ago in Mississippi, a doctor taught a Red Cross course in life-saving techniques and emergency medical assistance to a large number of ladies in the community. One evening, a very serious accident occurred right in front of the home of one of these ladies. At the next meeting, the lady told the doctor that in the midst of all that emergency, she was so grateful for the Red Cross course. She said, it was horrible. There was blood on the street, bruised bodies, and broken bones. I was so glad to have had your course. The doctor said, were you able to use what I taught you? She said, the woman said, yes. I put my head between my legs and breathe deeply, and do you know that I never felt like I was going to faint? So anyway, what do we do with our gifts? That is a good
parable or a joke?
I hope it's a joke. I hope it's not a real true story. It's one of those stories you hear in a sermon.
It's a preacher story.
You
did
that on Sermon
Central. Hey, a lot of our material is stolen from the internet, so we're not the originators.
The royalty checks in the mail.
So, anyway, here's I thought maybe we could dwell a little bit on what is our gifts that we have. We all have gifts. Alan's a chemical engineer. He grew up being very academic, I hate to say left brain. Mathematically, science,
whatever,
inclined, okay? and those are great talents. Those are talents that I have a few of those, but I don't have anywhere close to what Alan has. I have a little bit of math niched in there. But anyway, I have a little bit of some skills over here that maybe Alan might not have, and he definitely has some talents I don't have. What are some talents that you guys have that you want to... They have nothing to do with chemical engineering, which I'm glad, because we all need to help each other and complement one another. And let's brainstorm a little bit and talk about what are each other's gifts.
Well,
get a bunch of people who've been taught that they're never supposed to brag about themselves in church and talk yeah. about what they're good at.
We got the door shut. So
we won't tell.
Close setting here.
We are recording.
Yeah. We can shut this off if you want. That's...